We're on the road to the resurrection with Jesus leading up until Resurrection Sunday. And today we're going to talk about Jesus and his ministry, how available and accessible he really is. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The word saved there is the all-inclusive word sozo. In the Greek, it means to be healed, to be delivered. It provides protection, provision, preservation, and soundness and wholeness. So it's the all-inclusive word in the New Testament. Jesus came to bring salvation, God's salvation, which includes all of those aspects. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." So we could see the purpose for which Jesus came. And then 1 John verse 3 and verse 8, it says, chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose or reason, the Son of God was manifested or came that he might destroy the works of the devil." So he's not condemning us. He came to save us. He's come to seek us. He doesn't want us to be lost. And he came to destroy every stronghold and every aspect of the enemy's work upon humanity. As Jesus traveled the road to his resurrection, his fame grew. It began to swell. Momentum was beginning to happen in his life. And it became very difficult for Jesus to go anywhere without the multitude surrounding him. It just became a very large and cumbersome journey for Jesus. He just couldn't go anywhere without people pressing and placing demands on him. But our loving Lord was more than present in people's lives. He was available and accessible. He wasn't just among the people. He was there for the people. And I think that's something that we need to consider when we talk about someone who's as famous as Jesus. We think of people maybe that are in that category in our culture, and they travel with security personnel, bodyguards. They have an entourage, and they're trying to protect these people so they can go from place to place. And they're among the people, but they may not be with the people or for the people. It's just they have to get from their home to a restaurant or to some venue where they're doing a sporting event. But there are always demands placed upon them, and by their fans, by their followers, and sometimes by their skeptics and those that are their enemies. But they can't go anywhere without people pressing in and wanting to touch them, wanting to be around them, wanting an autograph, wanting a picture, or anything like that. But Jesus was in a whole different stratosphere than these individuals. No one had the demands placed on him like Jesus did. And Jesus was loving. He was gracious. He was patient. He just wasn't among the people. He was there for the people, and he was accessible. He was available. We're going to see that in our reading here in Mark's gospel here in a minute. He was so near that he could recognize an individual's faith in the midst of the masses, and he is still the same today. I think one of the things we need to remember is that a mass of people or a multitude of people is made up of individuals. Maybe lots of individuals, but everyone has a name and has a story, has a need. Something is brought them to that particular place to come and to be, with Jesus. And Jesus is traveling now. And as I said, it's become quite a challenge, even to the point where when he ministers to certain individuals, he asks them, please don't tell anybody about this, because his heart was to get to as many people and as many places as he could, knowing that he was on a strict timeline because Passover was approaching and he knew what was in front of him. So he was busy. He was active day and night. And let's now take a look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And we're going to read the entirety of this chapter. So if you find yourself wandering, I'm going to go at a rhythm and a cadence that I'm trying to allow us all to be pulled into what's happening here at this time in Jesus' life. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, it says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. And because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. And now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and there were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it, who saw them, how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And then they began to plead with him to depart from the region. We got into the boat. He who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him. He said to him, "Go to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, named Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. And she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then he came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and he said to her, "Talithai kumai," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose, walked, and she was 12 years of age. They were overcome with great amazement, but he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. All three of these categories are I put in your notes, all three are helpless and hopeless scenarios. Each and every one of these individuals had reached the end of their rope, and there was nothing that mankind could do to help them any longer. They had gone as far as they could go. They had spent every nickel and dime that they had. They had exhausted every path possible in order to get freedom, in order to get healed, in order to get support, and they were still in the same scenario, if not worse, than when they began. So it looked like all of their efforts, all their energy, all their hard-earned money had just gone for nothing. And now they're in this really challenging place in life. It's more than a rock and a hard place, and it's more than being painted in a corner. They don't have a corner, and it's not between a rock and a hard place. They are buried deep in hopelessness. And they're struggling. And it's very evident when you slow down and you read the account of each of these individuals that they did something very courageous and very brave. And that is, they took a step of faith outside of their comfort zone, outside of what they had done, and they approached and they worshiped Jesus. And then each and every one of them were ministered to, were made whole, and had a great testimony that amazed everyone and brought God glory. But I need to remind myself, as I need to remind you, that this didn't take place in the shadows. This took place in the open, among multitudes of people, where everyone had an agenda and everyone was trying to get to Jesus. Jesus ministered to these three individuals as well as the masses, but these three specifically, because he was available and accessible. He was not trying to just get from A to B. He was not trying to be famous, but people were making him famous. He was not wanting the spotlight on him, but the spotlight was on him. And everywhere he went, there was pressure to perform. There was people that were there that wanted him to prove who he was. People were there to worship. Others were there because they were inquisitive and curious. No matter who was in the crowd, Jesus was still there for them, and he's still the same today. You might feel like you're a face in the crowd and that God doesn't know your story and God doesn't know how far you've gone, how much you've spent, and how it hasn't produced what you want yet, but he does. And what he is wanting us to know is press into him. Do things that require you to get outside of yourself and outside of your comfort zone, and so that he can do what only he can do. You have tried everything within your ability to make things better, to get healthier, to get free, get away from lifestyles or things that have bound and restricted you and caused you harm. So over the next few minutes, I'm going to just break down each and every one of these scenarios just for a moment to let you see the steps of faith that they took. And if we are inspired by their story, then I believe the Holy Spirit can inspire us to do things and we'll get results in our life the way they got results. I'm not teaching a formula. I'm not saying, you do these three things and God will do this. But I am inspired by their faith, their testimony, and their willingness to go even though they were already spent. They did not give up. And that's a very commendable attitude and spirit. Let's first think about the man that was demonized. He could not be bound. He had an unclean spirit. It identifies some of the things that this spirit that possessed him drove him to do. He lived among the dead. He could not live among the living. He lived in the tombs. He lived in the cemeteries. He was cutting and harming himself. He was suicidal. He was naked. He lost his dignity. He couldn't be among the other people. To be clothed means that you're a person of honor and dignity and you go out into society without shame. He was a person filled with shame and regret. He was naked and he was cutting himself. He was among the dead. He was a danger to society. People were terrified and would not go down the road in which he lived. It would be like parents holding their children to their side and saying, you can't play with that child. You can't go to that house. You can't intermingle in that neighborhood. This was a dangerous individual. And he had supernatural strength that was given to him by these multitude of evil spirits that were working in him and through him and binding him and destroying him. He had lost his reputation. People thought he was a monster. People tried to subdue him. Many people tried to help him, but to no avail. No one could help this man. He couldn't be tamed. He was worse than the wildest of the animals. He was a beast. And this man was in a horrible, horrible position. There was no help for this man. The reputation of this man is he's a horrible person, and perhaps he is being punished by the devil for the choices that he has made in his life. This is his lot in life. This is the path that God has chosen for him, and there's no way out. But that is not the end of the story. And that was not why he was where he was. He was where he was. We do not know why. But all we do know is that when Jesus got off that boat, he was the first to meet him. Which tells me, regardless of how dark someone's world is, if they want to get to Jesus, there's no demon in hell that can keep them from getting to Jesus. And this man got to Jesus regardless of his reputation and all of the things and all the packages that came with him. The devil could not keep him from getting to Jesus, and the devil can't keep anyone who wants freedom from getting to Jesus. Jairus was a ruler. He had a daughter who was dying. This was a man who had a 12-year-old daughter. Think about this, man, if you have a daughter. This was his seed. This was his blessing. He was a leader of the synagogue. He knew that children were a heritage, a blessing from the Lord. This was his offspring. He would not have the privilege or the opportunity to give his daughter's hand in marriage to be with her on the day that she celebrated that joyous occasion. He wouldn't be there when she gave birth to his grandchildren. Her life was dissipating, was leaving her body. Because he was a ruler, he probably extended and used every option available to him. He asked for every favor from every friend, and yet his daughter continued to pine and to die, and her health was failing. So here he was. I imagine that he felt powerless. He couldn't do anything for his daughter, and he had to just sit and watch her die. And what great suffering he was going through. He was probably, because of the type of man that he is, I'm just going to make sort of a suggestion. I think he would have said, Lord, take my life and leave hers. I think he was at that place where he was probably, you know, had watched his daughter suffer long enough, called in all the favors, nothing was better. Now his daughter continued to suffer, and now she's been given just a short amount of time to live. And at that moment, he left where he was to go to where Jesus was. He didn't stay there and continue to watch his daughter suffering. He got up from where he was and he took a big risk. Can you imagine the regret he would have had if he wasn't there when his daughter passed away? He had to get up from where he was to go to where Jesus was in order to bring Jesus to his daughter. And in our lives, there are times where we need to get out and we need to go and we need to do so that God can come. And that may sound like a big and a risky thing, but Jairus had 1 ounce of hope, and he put everything he had on the line because of this 1 ounce of hope that he had left. The woman with the issue of blood was unclean. She was unclean in a different kind of way that the demonized man was. The demonized man was possessed. The woman just had an infirmity. It was a sickness, and she was hemorrhaging now for 12 years. So she was anemic. She was weak. She couldn't enter in among society. She was an outcast. She would have been in the same category as a leper. And those people weren't looked upon favorably. They couldn't go to the marketplace with others. They lived within the confines of their own home. Every time they went out into the culture, they had to identify themselves as someone who was unclean. People would not touch them. No one wanted to embrace them. They were the outcast of society, and people had, you know, come to conclusions about them. And some of the conclusions that they may have come to was that perhaps this was God's will for them, or maybe God was trying to teach something through this sickness, this prolonged sickness, or maybe this individual was suffering for their secret sins that they were unwilling to give up. And now this woman, living with the stigma of each and every one of those, did something that was very commendable. She had already spent all her money. She was no better. She was worse. And everything that she had put her hope upon was gone. And she just thought, you know, I've heard of Jesus. And I think if I can get to him and touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So each and every one of them made a journey of faith. The demonized man met Jesus when he came out of the boat. He didn't hesitate. He didn't wait for another day. He when the iron was hot and it was ready to strike, he struck. He wanted to be free. He believed. This demonized man believed. All right, Jairus, he risked his reputation. He went among the multitudes and he fell before the Lord. He begged him to come and lay his hands on his daughter. He fought through the resentment of this woman with the issue of blood, who was slowing down Jesus on his way to minister to his daughter. Jairus was there first. This woman should get in line. She's hindering Jesus from getting to my daughter. She is not dying. She looks like she is. She's anemic, but she's lived this long. She'll probably live a few more hours, but my daughter doesn't have a few more hours to live. And Jairus had to fight through that resentment that this woman came and interrupted Jesus' journey on the way to minister to his daughter. But Jesus was what? Accessible and available to everyone. And the news that reached Jairus was not good news. It was the worst of news. Leave Jesus alone. Your daughter is dead. It's too late. She's breathed her last breath. That's over. The demonized man received what mankind could not provide. The story of his life was that people tried to bind him, control him, and tame him. You can't do that to someone who's possessed by an evil spirit. That spirit has to be addressed and dealt with. Jesus addressed the spirit, and the unclean man was loosed. He was made clean. He could now live with others. He quit harming himself. His dignity was restored. He was clothed and in his right mind. He was no longer a threat to society. He was someone that people were marveled and were amazed that this is the man that was once tormented, that held our whole community captive. You couldn't even enter and go down this road to enter into our town because this man, it was so volatile. All of that had changed in a moment of time when he got to Jesus. His testimony amazed and impacted many for God. The woman was made whole and told all that Jesus had done for her. She didn't hold anything back. And Jesus found her in the midst of the crowd. And he still finds people in the midst of the crowd who touch him by faith. And Jairus' daughter was raised. And everybody was amazed and awestruck. And wondered, who is this man that even raises the dead? Today, Jesus is available and accessible to us. Whether we're bound, whether our children are not doing well, and their health is failing, or their spiritual life is in the category of death, or whether people have been suffering for many years. The enemy is crafty, deceitful, wily, all of the above. And he's probably been whispering to some of you that you're suffering because of secret sin, or maybe God is trying to teach you a lesson. Maybe, or perhaps, you felt like, this is what I get for the past sins that I have committed, and this is the consequences that I must suffer, and now I have to be bound, I have to be sick, I have to welcome and accept death prematurely, and none of those things are true. When they heard about Jesus, all of them heard. A ray of light came into their dark world. A ray of light. And that's all it takes, is a ray of light to drive back the darkness. That ray of light brought a path that they could walk on. And it led them right to Jesus. And Jesus does what Jesus does. He ministers to us. You may be here and you haven't been thinking well. You haven't been acting well. You've even had thoughts of harming yourself. Maybe you're concerned that, you know, my reputation, I can't go out. I can't be that vulnerable. I can't, you know, risk taking that step of faith. After all, what would people think? Jairus put all of that aside because what was more important to him was getting to Jesus. In order for us sometimes to see God do what only God can do in our life, we have to put aside the fear of man because it's a snare. And we have to put away our ego and our pride and our reputation. And if anyone is willing to step out of the boat and step out onto the waters by faith, Jesus will make sure that you get back to the boat safely. He's going to meet you. He's going to minister to you. He is going to provide. And this is Jesus now on the way to the resurrection. He wasn't concerned about the suffering that he would encounter. He was concerned about the suffering that was in front of him. He was concerned not about his self-preservation. He was concerned about those that he had called to seek and to save. He was not afraid of the enemy. He was there to destroy the works of the enemy. He knew that just with one word, no matter how bound or restricted a man was, no matter how much darkness he had permitted in his life, and regardless of his past, he could have a brand new life, and he could be in his right mind. He'd be clothed with dignity and honor, and he could be restored to wholeness. This is the Jesus that we serve. I'll close with this. Throughout 38 years of ministry, I've seen God do wonderful and amazing things. Not to those who sat on the sidelines, not to those who were just in the crowd, not to those that were curious or the sign seekers, but to people who got out of the crowd and did something out of the ordinary that Jesus identified as faith. And when he saw their faith, he moved. Faith is still what moves the hand of God. I have known and I have been aware of many times of people that had needs in their life, and opportunities were extended to them to respond while the water was stirring, and they sat and didn't respond, and nothing changed in their life. And they wondered where God was and why he wasn't coming to them. But this is the promise. If we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. People say, where are the miracles? Where is the God of miracles? And I'm not concerned about God. As a matter of fact, I have no worries about him or his reputation, his availability or his accessibility. What I'm proposing to you is, where is the faith that allows God to be God in your life? Where is the losing of your life to gain his life? Where is the, it doesn't matter what people say, it only matters that I get to him in your life? Yeah, you can live with chronic or terminal sickness or disease, and you can embrace it, and that can become your identity, or you can get rid of it. You can watch people perish all around you prematurely, and it's not their time or season. And you can say, well, God is a mysterious God. He's going to work all of these things together. And you can come to some wrong conclusions like many before. Or we can understand that every person that came to Jesus in childlike faith, not only was Jesus present, but Jesus was near. And he recognized every individual in a massive crowd of humanity that had faith. He found a woman in the crowd. The man found him when he got off the boat. Jairus sought Jesus, and Jesus encouraged him on his journey not to allow resentment or any other harmful emotion to enter into his life, but just keep believing. Jesus had to deal with mockers and scoffers and people that ridiculed and made fun of him. But this man, Jairus, saw his daughter live out her life. The demonized man lived out his life. Was never tormented again. The woman with the issue of blood didn't have any more doctor's appointments and started recouping some of the income that she had lost. This is the God that we serve. On the way to the resurrection, Jesus ministered to the individuals. He's still the same today.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged or inspired you to God's best. If you have any questions about today's message, need prayer, or would like to learn more about Living Word Fellowship, please call 641-828-7119 or visit us at lwfknoxville.com.